Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race, all stars, all winners. It is done. We have a queen of all queens. It is, spoiler alert, Jinx Monsoon. She has been crowned the official winner of All Stars Season 7. We are going to get into that as well as all of the lip syncs that we had in this episode today. So first, let me welcome in the fabulous panel that has been with us the whole season, breaking everything down. First, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I am doing so incredibly well. This was also, like, I think my favorite Untucked episode of the series as well. Like, what a unique perspective in between all of the different lip syncs that we'll get into. But what a lovely season cap off. I think this is the one time I think Amon and I, for in particular, might have like some criticism. But I think that this is, I say that as if like every comment underneath our YouTube video has been like, I think they need to like just enjoy the show a little bit more, which I hear you. I promise you I did enjoy it. I just had some thoughts. Can't wait to get into it.
All right. Well, let's hear from Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. We made it all the way through. This is the season that we've all been waiting for. I don't necessarily know if we got everything that we wanted this time around, but nonetheless, it's been such a great time getting to see all of these queens again. And I'm excited to talk about what I think is, rightfully so, a pretty controversial ending. But I think that only really speaks to it being a controversial season as well. So yeah,
right. I think one thing to note also, if you haven't been seeing a lot of the social media that has been going on, is that a lot of the queens have been posting their thoughts, some stuff from behind the scenes. I know Evie Oddly, for one, had this extremely long post about the whole season and about how she felt very frustrated with the edit and the way that production, you know, sort of did everything. So I definitely hear a lot of criticism going on, not just from the viewers of the show, but also from the queens themselves. Yeah. I think, first of all, let's all just extend a little bit of grace, but we can talk through our frustrations. And I think it's important to air how we really feel about everything that's going on.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, Beth, I am getting a bit of an echo from you. So we're just going to, okay. So the professional that Beth is, she's if you're not watching the video version, she is enjoying herself out at, you know, by the lake, just chilling on the porch. So really
wonderful.
We're all
like the consummate professional I am. I did forget my headphones. So that's why there's a little bit of an echo. So we're going to handle it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. But look, push to talk. Okay. It's back, baby.
Yeah. Walkie talkies, you know, yeah. Can't live with them. Can't live without them.
Over. All right. Let's do it. Let's get into all of this. So Amon, give me your big picture thoughts on the finale. What's the first thing that jumps into your head?
I knew it. But I mean, everybody knew it, you know? That's honestly the first thing that I thought of. I thought, well, like, you know, this is going to be great to see a few lip syncs. But I think we all kind of could have foreseen how this was going to go. I don't really have much past that. I feel like this was sort of par the course for this season. So, but I had a good time. I did.
Okay. That's good. Beth, what about you?
Yeah. I in my mind, correct winner for the season, not correct winner for the episode. Like that's my general thoughts here. Mm-hmm. And for both crowns, winner for both crowns based off of what I'm seeing. Now, if it had just been like, hey, we're going to do a lip sync Lollapalooza to see who the final two are, and then it's going to be mostly based off the season and how you do in the lip sync, I would respect the hell out of that. That's fine. Just be transparent with us. But we're not getting that transparency. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, this is based off of the lip sync and the season, and I'm like, they're being weighed equally. That's what's happening here. Equally,
Then why bother to do the lip sync? But you know.
Exactly, right. Yeah. No, so I mean, again, I had a really good time. What I kind of appreciated with all the lip syncs for the most part is that it was less about stunts and more about your ability to like, can you lip sync a song? Mm-hmm. A lot of that had to do with they didn't have all the prep work and time that you would have in a normal, like regular season finale where they get to go home and plan their stunts and what's this reveal going to be? And can I shoot, you know, confetti out of my ass or something like that? I mean, like there's so many things that I think honestly work super well in terms of just breaking them down to the core of what you are as a drag queen, which is just, for the most part, for many people, a lip sync artist. And I liked the aspect that they didn't have too much time to plan. Mm-hmm. But with that, a little bit of a letdown in comparison, which that's just the format.
Right. I think, of course, when queens don't have time to, really, if you think about it, with season 9, for example, they had months, like months to prepare for this. So, right. Of course, you're going to see something different. You know, we didn't see all of the reveals and all of that. So maybe comparison, it may feel a little bit underwhelming. But I think, look, you've got an hour. Okay, so the finale was an hour long. You had the quote unquote mini challenge with the quick drag, which was just sort of a fun celebration, even though all the queens when they heard that it was going to be quick drag. We got a final runway, which we were talking about. So I'm very happy that that ended up happening. And then it just kind of, maybe a little bit lackluster, but I think at the same time, it really felt like a celebration.
Liana, you're missing the best part of before the lip syncs happened, which was RuPaul got to perform again.
Oh my
and
God.
Just absolutely killed it with these killer clowns who I was convinced were going to be Trixie and Bianca coming out as other winners. Like they were going to be the killer clowns, but no, I was not fed in that way. But wow, was I fed with just another stellar RuPaul performance.
I kind of like this one. I did. I know I said the same thing about the last performance, but that was mainly because it was catwalk. Oh, such a bop. But maybe it was just the dress this time. The dress and all the frills just made the choreography look more intricate than
it was pretty hot.
It was.
Okay, so for me, I actually agree with Amon in terms of the choreography being like, okay, we're going to step it up a little bit. Really, for me, though, it was the transition into the performance that was very, like...
It was too canned. Like, it was just like, Michelle, I had a nightmare last night that you were being attacked by killer clowns. And I'm like, what?
I didn't understand. Was this a through line the entire time? Like, is this whole season a ruse? Like, what's going on?
My face throughout the whole thing was just like, huh? Like, I had no idea what was going on, because I was like, okay, wait, we're getting what are dancing clowns? What is this, a Russo? Wait, what?
I thought they were about to like do a trailer for some movie now, because it's, you know, Paramount Plus and they got contracts with stuff. I thought they were going to do some sort of like extended, oh, and now in theaters this August, go see Killer Clowns, whatever the hell, but no.
Yeah, maybe.
That would have been great. I still think they should have brought Trixie and Bianca as two clown winners to come and be the killer clowns and have to do backup. Because, you know, Bianca doing backup choreography would have been the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, Trixie actually would have gone along with it. Bianca would have been doing like a really queen kind of look the entire time.
Yeah.
But I think it just would have been great.
Well, why were they clowns? The song is Smile, right? That
you were asking questions that nobody can answer.
Maybe because clowns smile all the time.
Okay, sure.
But then there's tramps, which are literally clowns that don't smile. Like,
okay,
do clowns, because the clowns make you smile? Because they don't make me smile. They make me shit my pants because I don't like them.
There's no clown lyric in Smile, if that is indeed, there's no reference to clowns. So yeah, that was definitely very much like a fever dream. I just felt like, and then after it ended, when it ended, I just thought to myself, what did I just watch?
Yeah, I feel like I got like violated.
I felt like I was violated. I finished watching that and I said, oh, I can't wait to devote a good half an hour to this discussion on the podcast, because I need to pinch myself to realize, was this just real?
It's the old ramblings and musing of a RuPaul. I mean, that's what this comes down to. Same old, same old.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad that we've dedicated a good amount of time to talking about that. That was, as Beth mentioned, yes, the most important thing that we needed to talk about with the finale. Definitely the weirdest, for sure. But, you know, look, the hustle, Mama Ru, like, go for it. You get yours with your clowns. Sure, fine. Okay, let's just go through all the lip syncs, and then I think we can circle back and talk about the finale looks and anything else that we want to discuss. I definitely think we should touch on Untucked and all of that, but let's get right into the meat and potatoes of everything that we have to discuss today. So what order do you guys want to go in? Do you want to do the She Done Already Done Had Hers Is, or do you want to do the lip sync for the crown or whatever it was
let's
called?
Do the She Done Already Done Had Hers. She Done Already Done Had Hers.
Okay, we'll talk about everything. Let's just do all three matchups. So first we get the Viv versus Evie, selected by Wheel. Viv selects the Brass Box, which was Push It by Salt and Peppa. What Beth is doing her own little Salt and Peppa dance over here. What do you think of the lip sync, Beth?
Okay, so I couldn't help but feel like I wish I could have assigned who lip synced what song, because I think Viv would have killed the other song. I think that she would have been really good. What was it? Girls Just Want to Have Fun? No.
No, let's hear it Blondie. For the boy.
Let's hear it for the boy. Oh my God. I knew it was an 80s song. Sorry about it. wow. I just went through like too many songs that were wrong. I really feel like Viv would have killed Let's Hear It for the Boy. And I really felt like Jada would have killed it for Push It. And I was really hoping that if they had just switched the two around, I really think that could have been two really incredible lip syncs. It ended up like, I actually thought this was more of a toss up. I didn't really think that like Evie wiped the floor in any way with Viv. I think that she held her own, but I think Evie just kind of, in my opinion, did better, just a little bit better. So she deserved the win. Not mad at what Viv put out, but I definitely think she could have won the other lip sync.
Yeah, I feel like the Vivian obviously was kind of clever the way that she harkened back to the TikTok challenge that they had, and she recreated her dance, and which really entertained RuPaul. So I honestly thought that she had it at that point. But to Evie's credit, you know, she also pulled out some of her acrobatics and, you know, took the reins back from the Viv, and, you know, her body just like sort of encapsulated the rhythm of the song a bit more. So Yeah, I agree with you, Beth. I don't think that it was a complete massacre, but I do think that Evie did edge her out just in the end there.
Mm-hmm. I think this was really tough for me because these were probably the two queens that emotionally I was rooting for the most just because of, you know, Evie's story and really falling for the Viv this season. So this was really tough to have those two go up first. And I felt like this wasn't a real great song fit for either of them necessarily. But I do feel that, you know, they both gave it their all. I do agree with the Viv harkening back to something that, you know, RuPaul is going to like. So definitely do that. Yes, exactly. Like Ru will laugh and cackle at this. So that's a really smart call to do something. So it was really heartbreaking when the Viv lost. I was very excited for Evie. And I thought, oh, maybe Evie could actually take this whole thing was my first thought. And so I was like, well, if the Viv has to go for Evie to win, then I guess I'll take it, which then didn't happen.
And so anyway. Be it.
It did feel like a bit of a production blunder. It felt like, I mean, because we know that the production is finagling things. We know that they are. It just feels like they just needed to get rid of the two heavyweights so that there was only one heavyweight left for Raja to have to go against. That's what this is about. And I just feel like,
yeah, it was the way the wheel spun that really got me. I was like, oh, this is an electric wheel. Like, it's not spinning because when they would show it slowing down, I was like, the wheel wouldn't stop. It would keep going. Like, there was something weird with the way the wheel was spinning.
They also didn't show Calix, the pit crew member, when the wheel was spinning. Like, he very well could have been like, oh, did you want me to say, stop now? Like, he could have been holding the other side of the wheel for all we know. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. I feel like this was definitely a production rigging it kind of thing. And there's a part of me that just wants to be so equitable. I was like, the Viv didn't get to win money on her season. Like, let her get some more cash. I know that she's won a few, you know, a couple tens of thousands of dollars on the show, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're going to go that route, Raja only won like what, 50, there's 75,000 on season 3. So she didn't even get the full 100,000. And that was like, you know, 75 years ago.
Inflation be.
That's like $10 today. Like, you know, it's just like no big. There's a part of me that was like, if you wanted to be like RuPaul's inflation race, then you could have had like Raja and the Viv go head to head in the last one. That could have been great. But I also was like emotionally rooting for Evie. So maybe I just was kind of like, a little bit more biased with her because of that. But yeah, I don't know. The riggery was there.
Okay, let's talk about the second matchup. And so we have Jada versus Raja, the other two queens in the She Already Done, Ready Done, Had Hers Is Championship Lollapalooza SmackDown for the not crown, but $50,000. And they have the platinum box, which is Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams, which I did feel like this was actually a pretty good song for both of them if I was going to try to match people up. Because even though Jada does have some really great choreography, I feel like she can emote really well. And I felt like she was very much getting into this song. And I thought a really fun performance to watch overall.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Raja did beat her in this. And I think that the reason I had times where I actually thought Raja was singing the song. Mm-hmm. And if you can provide that illusion for me, you're going to win. And I felt like it was more obvious that Jada was lip syncing. And I know that's just like a really weird thing to say. We're like, well, obviously the lip syncing, that's the whole point. But I kind of feel like if you know that, and I think that's my main issue with Evie sometimes too, is that Evie is so, you know, weird and quirky and does these things with her mouth that are, you know, funny and fun to watch. But it takes you out of the illusion a little bit. And I think that's ultimately, when we get to the other one, another reason why Raja potentially wins too, but I honestly think like Raja, you knew Raja was like, I used to play the song all the time when I was in high school. Like, this is great. Right. Like, whatever. Like, you could tell, like, she had the song in her bones and she knew how to sing it in a way that was, or sing it. I say lip sync it, but made it look like she was singing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about the song. You got to know what song is appropriate to sort of go for the illusion and what song is appropriate for you to pull out all the tricks and dips and flips and curls and all that stuff. And while Jada certainly wasn't over the top with her moves, I do agree. I think Raja sort of did embody the song a bit more. She had that sort of like carefree energy of talking about, you know, my boy, let's hear from my boy. Like, you know, so I feel, and of course, like the nostalgia of it all was probably hitting every single one of them judges, with the exception of maybe Ross, in the chest. So yeah, I think just seeing Raja up there, singing the song, just, I think it's a lot easier to go with that than Jada Essence Hall. So yeah, I agree. I don't think that Raja lost. I think that she did win this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think she really just connected with the song a little bit more. I thought she was really fun to watch. Although Jada was also very, you know, she was getting her dance on. Okay. And I have to appreciate when a queen can do that and connect with the song as well from the more physical, like embodying angle. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily like Beth was saying with fully engaging with the lip syncing. But I think again, super fun. And then one thing to note that I didn't mention is that every queen gets a scepter. So it was their very own participation.
Yeah.
The participation trophy of the season.
I'll take it. If those are bejeweled the way they look like it, you could sell that too.
I know.
Get your money, Viv.
Yeah, exactly. That's how, like, if they're not going to pay you outright, at least you can sell the scepter, hopefully.
Yeah. They're gorgeous scepters. They are. They really are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jada is eliminated here, gets a scepter, though, so she can be happy about that. Raja moves on to face Evie in the very final lip sync for them. And this was, what song did they do? Oh, this was the Youth. Wait, how do you say it? Why am I like, why is my mouth full of like
Youth rhythmics.
Okay. I was like, why is my mouth feels like it's full of something?
It's all because it's right here and like right behind you.
Eurythmics. Thank you. Okay.
There we go.
And Aretha Franklin, we got there, people. We got there. Okay. Sisters are doing it. And this one also felt very much like, oh, this is for Raja. Like, right?
Absolutely. It did feel like that. I don't know. I understand, like, what I had just said before, I think applies again with Raja. I think that she's able to provide the illusion. That said, that like wig fail reveal should have won her the lip sync. I'm sorry. I felt like Evie like really faked us all out. And I was like, girl, not in the last lip sync for the loser crown. Like, what's going on? There's no worse time than for the second place crown. I don't know how to say it, but but then it was great. I loved it.
Evie beat her. Raja lost this lip sync. Like, and we have been rooting. Well, I have been rooting for Evie this entire time. So I know there's maybe like a little bit of bias here. But even if I'm trying to be as impartial as possible, she beat her. Like, she beat her. And I just feel like, it's not Raja's fault that she won this. It's not her fault. But the producing of it all is just so off, you know? It's just so off. It just, I don't know how we can reconcile these lip syncs. Also, if it's like, if these decisions are made, because RuPaul said the decisions are made about the lip syncs and like the performance, like I feel like Raja and Evie sort of did similarly throughout the competition. So it's like, you can't even fall back on that argument. I don't know. It just feels wrong. It just feels wrong. And I just, and I wish that it didn't feel wrong. I want to feel good about the fact that Raja won. And I do, like, just because it's Raja, but like narratively speaking, it's off. It's just off.
I think if I had to say, I do think probably Raja outperformed Evie overall throughout the season based on what we saw. I think part of that is the fact that Raja did win two challenges. I think it was actually Raja who gave Evie her star, her first star.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know, if you're thinking about it from that perspective, but in that lip sync, the camera was most of the time on Evie. So yeah. I was very confused when Raja ended up winning, when I felt like most of the attention was on Evie for the majority of the lip sync, obviously the wig reveal that y'all mentioned. So then I was like, okay, so is it like a legacy thing, you know, that like the RuPaul franchise, the Drag Race franchise, felt like they wanted to reward Raja for all of the work that she's done throughout the, you know, tenure of the show. So I was like, okay, maybe that is part of the reason. But then also I was like, you know what? God, freaking give it to Evie. Like, who knows how long she's going to be able to perform. You know, Raja will continue to work. She'll continue to, you know, be able to have opportunities.
I mean, Raja's near retirement age, Liana. I mean, she's... Who knows how long either one of them are going to continue to
perform. And we all know Social Security ain't going to support you, right? Like, that's not going to be around for long, okay? So, and the market just took a downturn. Can you imagine her 401k right now?
My theory is that Raja yelled at Michelle Visage so hard in this footage that we didn't see, that production, including RuPaul, was like, you know what? She deserves a crown for that. Let's make a secondary crown just to make her win. Because clearly that was some intense yelling.
Oh my God. I love that theory.
I just feel like it's very this what's happened here with her is sort of very indicative of the statement that she made on Instagram. I felt like, because I sort of felt the same way about how she was coming across. And I remember myself trying to find all of the positive in Evie's edit this time around. Because while I don't think that in any of the queens really got a bad edit, it did feel like she came across very muted this time. And I think that in her Instagram post, she used the word lobotomized. Like, she felt like they sort of just made her, they took something away from what her actual experience was on the show, describing it as it was actually very hard. It was very gruesome. I relied on my sisters a lot, but you don't really see any of that. All you see is like Evie has a big dick and that's it. And when you put it that way, yeah, it's funny to listen to Jinx, you know, roast her about it. But then when Evie comes out of the end of the season, like, you know, I'm glad that we all got a good laugh out of that, but I feel like that's all y'all laughed at and y'all didn't really get to see me. And so I'm like, damn, like,
well,
I'm glad
actually,
that she's back, but fuck.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I took a screenshot of that Instagram post because I felt like it could be important to read. So I'm going to read an excerpt from it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just part of it. What Evie wrote was, going back, I learned a lot about myself as I was forced to question whether or not I fit into this specific world, quote in brackets, even as a winner. But instead of showing any of that struggle or really any reason for me to be there, I've been lobotomized and presented as some goofy, big-dicked mascot, bravely laughing through my chronic illness, happy to be along for the ride. The only part of my truth that was shown was how the girls were my rock in this competition and how happy it's made me to share any more of my art with you. And so for that, I am truly thankful. And that is just so, it was so heartbreaking to read, because as much as the show even highlighted elements of what she was going through, to know the true depth of the situation, I think that was really just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I really feel like, sorry, Mon.
Go ahead.
I think that Evie's voice in sense of in drag and all these things that she does is so pointed and specific and different, and there's a reason for it. And instead of this kind of let's embrace your inner queerdo, which we got that on like a surface level, but not anywhere near the like struggles that we got to see her develop and overcome in season 11. It really was like a watered down edit of her.
Yeah. Yep.
I would say like Jada got way more of the like recent winner storyline of, oh, I'm a new winner. Oh, I had all these issues. And we got to see her really develop and grow. And we really didn't get that from Evie. And even people who weren't performing as well in the competition, and I'm looking at you, Shay, like Shay gets into the top four. Shay gets a little bit more of the storyline. And it's always been weird to me that somebody who has such a specific, different point of view and represents something that's just, also just the fact that also knowing not at the time, but now we know that Willow also just won. It's like, are we now just going to use her for, okay, we need a moment where we can like commiserate, so let's have the podcast moment with RuPaul and Michelle. But that's all we're going to do when it comes to like actual like growth in inner turmoil and things that you're facing in adversity. And then they have the gall to give her that like dubbed title that talks about her, you're queen of the queerdos, but like, you're also like, you overcome your adversities. And I'm like, where have you, besides last episode, decided to show that portion of what I'm sure was a huge part of her development and growth of in this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you nailed it. I think that that must be incredibly frustrating. And I'm happy that she was brave enough to share that, you know, especially with their contracts and like whatever is going on behind the scenes and still sort of being part of that world. That must be really tough. And I'm, you know, my heart goes out to her for having to deal with that situation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the queen of all queens, lip sync, Lollapalooza, SmackDown for the crown. I wrote it down this time so I could get the official name. Our first matchup is Jinx going against Shay. So these were both selected by the wheel. As I'm
wow, that wheel quotes. Really knew to put the twinners against each other. That's so weird.
Yeah, we'll get there. And the platinum box was selected, I believe, by Jinx and Judas. Lady Gaga was the song. And most people have pointed this out online, but I just want to mention that Jinx was wearing an orange wig and a red dress, same as our very own Sasha Coulee. I almost called her Sasha Velour when she took down Shay the first time. So I just thought that that was very funny.
I...
Oh no, the silence is deafening.
How can Shay perfectly pull off the Judas choreography and not win? To someone who looked like they were going to fall at any given minute, twirling around in a circle. And also, I can't remember, was it? Yeah, it was this lip sync where Jinx literally did the like fake out where all of a sudden she like turned her back, and it all she did was just turn back around, and that was it. Like, it wasn't a gag moment. It was like a gag moment. I loved the energy that Jinx brought to this. I could at times hear her singing the song, so the illusion at times was good. But Shay had the choreography down. She had the choreography down. And I don't know if you guys have heard her story that she since has said, which she didn't untucked. Like, That was incredible. This was like literally the first song that she ever like performed it, and it wasn't something she was supposed to do. Like, what a bookend moment. And she nailed it. And I'm sorry. I do think Jinx wins the season, but win this lip sync, she did not.
Yeah.
Good job, right, Amon. I watched that. Watched the choreography as I was chatting.
Watch the visual. Yeah. Y'all know how I feel about Gaga, man. Like, y'all know how I feel about Gaga on Drag Race and Beyonce on Drag Race. Man, like, if y'all gonna have these goddesses songs on your damn show, then the lip syncs have to be with people that know what the hell they're doing. And Shay obviously knew what the hell she was doing. I don't necessarily need for you to do the choreography. I think you do the choreography for like maybe one chorus and then you just continue to do your own stuff. But I love that she did that because she's showing like, look, I am a fan of this song. I know this song. I know the music. I know the choreography. I know Judas. And it's just, I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to reconcile that. And she tweeted earlier this morning, in a since deleted tweet, she said, I forget what the original tweet said, but somebody was like, girl, I can't believe you fumbled this lip sync. And she replied, girl, please. Nothing about that was fumbled. Production played the same tricks they were playing all season to get the results they wanted. I devoured that lip sync, mama. Yes, you did. Okay. Yes. You did.
I want to meet whoever this internet troll is who thinks that she fumbled this lip sync. Bitch, where?
Yeah.
Where was there a fumble? She didn't. I mean, I totally agree with you, Amon. I agree that you don't have to do the choreography for this. But when you are a good dancer like Shay and you can pull it off with the fierceness and energy that she brought, fine, do it. Because that's incredible. The one thing I want to take away from was there was no need for that weird overall keep that at home, throw that away. That was not necessary, Shay. I much preferred what you were wearing underneath. It didn't do anything. I love that in Untucked we get to see you put it on and it's like the world's least impressive reveal. But the fact that I just had to remember that because I was just sitting back at home being like, yeah, Shay's killing it. Oh my God. And then I was like, oh my God, is Shay going to beat Jinx? This is like, holy crap. And then I was like, oh no, it's Drag Race. Of course she's not going to beat Jinx.
And I just feel like it's such a crappy situation for production to even put themselves in because on one end, you did this really weird twist when you made the last thing, you know, the last competition, 3 stars. So you're putting someone that was doing horribly, quote unquote, in the competition in the end, in the finale. And now you're forced to take her out because it wouldn't make sense for her to win. But at the same time, you put her there in the first place to slay as Shea Coulee does. So it's either you make her look, you make yourselves look stupid because she doesn't win, or you make everyone mad because Shay wins. It's like, what are y'all doing? What are you doing? So, yeah.
I think it's definitely frustrating. Obviously, they put themselves in a box. I mean, this happened with the Sherry Pie situation because, you know, they had clearly orchestrated this very specific storyline of Gigi versus Sherry Pie. And we ended up getting Jada, who's one of the most, you know, who's absolutely fabulous, as we learned from the season. And so it just, it's like very frustrating to have so much force. I think that Shay, obviously, as you guys mentioned, did a great job. I think in Jinx's corner, I think she did emote super well. You can see it on her face. Like, there is that passion, that energy, that emotion. And so, you know, I do think that I didn't think this was a complete runaway. I do feel like Jinx did, you know, give what she could in terms of the situation. I think it was just really tough with having Shay being so, you know, so good and so outstanding. But that's kind of a little bit of the disconnect, is that if you're looking for the full body, you've got Shay. If you're looking just kind of here, you know, in the facial region, you've got Jinx, right?
Not just the facial region. She did the
monsters.
Yes.
Of course. Okay, good. Sorry, from like this oval shape, including the, yeah. Okay, great, good. I do think though that it, you know, because of God, I want to say Rigory, but I'm not going to say Rigory because of Shay getting the 3 stars in the very, you know, final challenge. I think I also would have been frustrated also, though, if she had moved on. You know what I mean? Because it's right. Like, but she did. So can I win either way? I'm going to try to enjoy it. I think they both did a good job. I think that it was still fun. You know, I had a good time. Although, yeah, you know, ultimately, is that what I necessarily would have picked? I don't know.
I have an idea. Let's stop lip syncing for the crown. Let's let the season speak for itself.
Or, I mean, here's the thing. I actually don't mind the lip sync for the crown, but if you're going to do that, then that's what the final competition is, right? It is a lip sync for the crown. And all you have to do is you just have to get there. It's like in football. It's like for the sports reference, but it's like football. You just got to get to the playoffs.
What is sport?
What is a football? So if you can just get to the playoffs, then you can win your way from there. You can be barely above 500 and still make it. And I feel that if you're going to do Drag Race that way, then fine, do it that way. But then have the lip sync stand for itself. It's so weird to have this hybrid. I mean, because even when Jinx was announced as a final winner, it was like, oh, based on this lip sync and the rest of the season. Okay, but then it just feels like the lip sync is for nothing, right?
And that's what if they had said... All this does is gets you here. The rest of the season doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And said that out loud. I think that's all we just need to hear. But they also have to do a way better job of hiding how rigged it is for who's going against who. Mm. And I think it would have been way better in a situation where you've got 2 different tiers. Why not have the other queens collaboratively decide who's going to be the matchups? I think that makes for way better TV in terms of like, okay, are they going to try to sabotage somebody? Are they going to try to put what they think is going to be the best matchup? And then, you know, they decide the song and they decide the matchup. Tell me that wouldn't be great at the television if like you had Monet, Trinity, Jinx, and Shay who were deciding who's going up for... let's hear it for the boy. And they're like, okay, obviously we're going to give this to Raja. Or if like they're not in it with Raja for whatever reason, they'd be like, we know that's going to be one that she's going to win. Let's have her do Push It. Like, I think that would provide incredible drama. And in this situation, it's just like, it just has gotten to a point where I don't believe in the lip sync for the crown. It's either rigged, or it completely erases what the rest of the season has done. And they either just, like you said, Liana, need to come out and say, I only get you here. Rest of the season doesn't matter. Crowns for the lip sync and that's fine. But don't balance it with the rest of the season because then it's obvious who's going to win regardless of how well the lip syncs go.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do think that if the queens, maybe this is the lip sync, the All-Star season 3 trauma of Shangela being robbed, but that was just like my gut reaction to hearing the suggestion for the queens to vote, but they were there the whole season. So then I think it, you know, would work out a little bit better, but okay, let's talk about our second matchup here in the final lip sync crown, spectacular lip sync Lollapalooza, Monet and Trinity, of course, as we talked about, the twinners going against each other. They have the bronze box with So What by Pink. Amon, take us through your thoughts.
This was a little bit more evenly matched than maybe I would have given it credit for in the beginning. I have them playing in the background. I do think that Monet sort of takes her out just a little bit. I also loved what Monet had on. I don't think I've ever seen her wear something like that before. I feel like this is another case of wrong song choice maybe for these two. Like, I don't know. I just feel like neither one of them was really in their bag with this the way that I would have wanted them to for a finale lip sync.
The lip sync song was atrocious. This was a crime against Drag Race. Like, I love So What by Pink. The murder that they did to cut up that song in order to make it a lip sync song was in itself a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you made them, they're like, I'm going to get in a fight. So, and then they're like, wait, you missed the entire verse. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
like,
I thought that too. Yeah.
I was so distracted. I had to go back and watch it a second time because I was so distracted with how much they butchered just the edit of the song. It was so egregious. I actually think Trinity beat Monet in this one. And I think part of it very well could be because she was wearing the pink haircut kind of hair wig thing. So maybe I could visualize it a little bit more. But there was something about the split that Monet did and a couple of the moves that came off as clumsy. It didn't come off as a clean thing. And like Trinity did her signature, I jump and down to my knees slam that she does all the time. And so nothing was like, oh my gosh, amazing, gag worthy. You know, like, but I kind of felt like Trinity edged Monet out. I'm happy Monet goes on, but I don't know. I just also,
I think it might have been the part where she started begging her.
Yeah.
Which is now fair game because Trinity did the same thing to Jada and somebody else. So, and won. So,
the conversation that led to an Untucked was one of my favorite things with the like, and now we know who Monet fucked or whatever. Or like, I felt it when you entered me or whatever, like going in. That's what I felt you going in. Oh my gosh. I kind of felt like for a finale lip sync for the crown and not even for like the quote unquote lesser crown. I've been nicknaming this other crown, like the consolation prize crown or whatever, but like it just came across as like very underwhelming, very clumsy. And the song was just not it. That is, I wish they would have done the next song for this round and actually done something powerful and emotive for the last song. But I don't know. Apparently they're high over in the producers when they're trying to choose which songs to do. And they're like, well, let's go through my iPhone and figure out which songs that I'm just like really jamming to right now. How can we fuck it up and just make it the worst song you've ever heard? And then let's make the lip sync for the crown with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so happy that you clocked the weird edit because it was edited. The song was edited so terribly, like so terribly.
Yeah. I'm going to start a fight just happening all of a sudden. I was like, yeah, why?
Yes, I know. I was like, wait, this is like, and then you can't get into it. And so there's the elements that are just, I did not enjoy that. Also release the footage. Paramount Plus, we know you have it. The cutaway, because we didn't really get to see the topping, okay? And I want to see it, okay?
I want to see the topping.
I know, it's on the internet. Like, what are y'all mad about? Like, yeah,
exactly.
Come on.
You can say the C word, but you can't show topping?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was consensual.
The way that they tried to edit it, though, was so weird because obviously they wanted to set up that it was happening, but they didn't want to film the actual, or they didn't want to show the actual thing. So you get some weird cropped shot of Monet, like, but you can't see Trinity, and it's just Monet, like, humping something, but you can't see it.
But then they show Trinity, Monet, like, and it's just Trinity going,
yeah, exactly.
Actually, this might be actually funnier.
Like, is she actually being penetrated? Like, why am I not seeing this? Okay, I want to see it.
Get the wide shot and just blurred out the middle.
Yeah, exactly. You have a blurring tool, okay? Like, we know because you can do it for nipples. So, like, do it for this situation. It was like it matched the weird song edit. It was like, we're just going to chop this up in the weirdest way possible across the board, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Fine. Anyway. Okay, so we get Monet as the winner here. Trinity, given her scepter, sent off, and we are down to our final lip sync. So we have Monet versus Jinx, and Swish Swish was the song choice, which I see Beth having a meditative, visceral reaction to. You want to go through?
I would have preferred the Killer Clown song as like what? Swish Swish? What? I don't even like that as a lip sync song, let alone.
Is it because of the Nicki rap? Like they wanted something with both, like more versatility?
I'll tell you, like I miss the days where the final lip sync was about really emoting, was like normally it was a slowed down ballad or something like look at All Stars 2 and All Stars 3 or something like that, kind of just takes you down a little bit. And it's purely like, how badly do you want it? And show me in your face. Like, don't just rely on tricks. Don't just rely on everything. Like, let me see how much you want this. And I'm now talking directly to the producers of this show. If you need a suggestion, Everything's Coming Up Roses from Gypsy would be the perfect finale kind of song, or Rose's Turn or something like that. That just like you have like the main character who just wants something so badly in like a musical or whatever. Like, you got a catalog that every gay person knows. Like, just go to that. This was like, we're going to pander to just like the white women who watch this show. Like, that's what it came across as.
Really into voguing right now.
Who watched this show. And I was like, hi. This was such a poor Let's Crown a Winner song that I can't even. And then on top of the fact that just Monet, like, ate the fucking floor with Jinx. And like, there was Jinx, like, wasn't even existing in the shots at all. Like, it was just Monet. And I don't know. This was just such a hodgepodge mess. I'm not here for this one.
All right, Aman, your turn.
I just feel so bad. I feel like we were just ripping this to shreds. But they deserve it. They really do. Like, Monet ate Jinx up and she lost. It doesn't make any sense. And that's not even to mention the fact that allegedly there were gags that they pulled out of. Like, there was a whole gag with the lipsticks. We see her with the lipsticks and all of a sudden they're gone. That's because they cut out the gag where she pulls out Jinx's lipstick to send her home. If the freaking shit is all supposed to be about the performance and the lip sync, then why would you cut away from Monet? Because if you include that, of course Jinx is going to win. Just show Monet murdering her in the lip sync and then just have RuPaul be like, you know what, Jinx, or Monet, you did a bomb-ass job with this, but we got to give it to Jinx. I'm going to roll with hoops. That's fine, because we can do that. We can do that. But for you to sit there and like try to erase the majesty that is Monet in this horrible choice of a song, mind you, it's like, then y'all know that y'all F up here. You know, you're telling on yourselves, and it makes it very hard for us to get behind it. It's just like, why did Shay have to lose season 9? It's just so crazy. It's so crazy to me. I don't get it. I think it's really a multifaceted issue. It's like, because it's not Jinx's fault that she won. Mm-hmm. This season was chock full of acting and improv and comedy challenges. There were like 5 of them. Jinx won 7 out of 11 challenges. She was going to win the season. If you don't want a predictable season, give us more variety in challenges. Also, maybe switch up the judging panel. Make sure that you have representatives from other types of drag so that all of them can judge equally, and so that maybe when there's a bunch of people that are like anti Evie and her quirks, they're like, you know what? No, Evie actually represents this sector of the community. Let's give it to this bitch this week. You know what I mean? And then you have so much more variety. You have so much more difference in opinion, and then it just makes it a little bit more equitable for everybody. And so whoever comes out on top deserves to effing win. Of course we wanted Jinx to win, because you made us want Jinx to win, because you made us root for Jinx, because you gave us 7 out of 11 challenges for her to win. All right, I'm done.
You okay?
All I heard out of that is a variety of judges on the panel. So Aman would like Nancy Pelosi to actually sit on the judges' table. That's what took away from that. In my right, wrong.
She's too busy going to Taiwan right now.
Texting every fucking American in the United States. If I get one more damn text from Nancy Pelosi, I'm going. You know what? Let me stop.
She needs $15, Aman. Oh, okay. So I think look no further, though, Aman, that, okay, we'll just let him rest for a bit. I think look no further than what Shay said, right? The rigor mortis along the whole length of the season, right? And I think that that is a little bit what's coming out. This is, and this is absolutely no shade to any of the queens at all whatsoever. So if you're coming for the queens, fucking stop. Like, just stop. That's completely unnecessary. Go for production. Like, go after the wow page, okay? That's where your anger belongs. I mean, I'm not supporting any of that, but if you're going to bully the right people, at least. Here's some tea from Bob and Monet, who did a Instagram live after the finale, I believe after. So first of all, Monet feels that she beat Jinx by a lot. Bob agrees. Apparently, yep. Production and crew all told Monet that she won the lip sync.
Yeah.
Also, as
and also the sky is blue.
I know, right? As Amon mentioned, Monet had a gag that was cut out. She pulled out Shay, Trinity, and Jinx's lipsticks. Monet confirms that Jinx stopped to watch her do the Nikki verse during the lip sync, which I saw that and I was like, why is Jinx just stopping? So that was great to hear. So those are sort of like the main things. They didn't feel that the lip sync for the crown was necessary because, as we've talked about, it was just the winner of the season. What else do I have written down? Trinity made her finale look during filming. That's just a random thought. Oh, and Bob said that he would have done All Winners One, but will not come back for All Winners Two. And that is, I think, one of the most frustrating things to think about, is the fact that if production bungled this so badly and the queens are going to talk, of course they're going to talk. Good luck recruiting the next season of All Winners, right? I mean, look, it still may happen. Okay, give it enough time. Time heals all wounds. But, you know, just like, this is definitely a black mark on getting the queens to come back, at least.
I love the fact that the queens have been so great about supporting the season, obviously. Yeah. And they're getting, you know, their exposure again. Jinx gets to come back after so many years and reintroduce herself to a bunch of younger fans that are probably going to be Jinx stands, deservedly so, because Jinx is talented as fuck. She is. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that this show is produced. It just gets worse and worse each time. And I know that we had a great time. We always will. But when Drag Race is high, it is high. But when it is low, it is low. It's kind of like another show that we all know and love. So it's just like, damn. Can we just get a season with good queens and good storytelling and good judging and good challenges? Is that too much to ask for? Because I feel like there are other franchises over yonder that know what they're doing and they're not hosted by RuPaul. So I just want to know, maybe we're not being overly dramatic and critical when we say, RuPaul, you gotta go.
I do want to take a step back and say, I think this season, for the most part, did have good challenges and good storytelling, and we saw the positive aspects of the judging. We have learned from, you know, Trinity at Roscoe's or whatever, saying, you know, they definitely give us negative critiques a lot. I mean, that's why Raja went off on Michelle in episode 3. But I think this season is one of the best seasons we've ever seen, period. I really do think it is. And I also think there was a sense of genuine talk about the supportiveness of RuPaul throughout this season with these queens. You heard it in Untalked about how they were doing dirty trades, which we've heard a lot about with Michelle Visage and him on What's the Tea, when they used to have that podcast. I think that, again, the lip sync for the crown has never worked. Like, I name a season where people were happy overwhelmingly with who the winner was because it was like representative of the season. I will wait.
I mean, honestly, in retrospect, I think Sasha Velour was a really great winner. I think Evie also a really great winner. So I would say for me, those are the two
winners. I'm saying that the twist of lip sync for the crown made people happy.
But okay, I don't know about make people happy, but those seasons made me happy. I think that I think that season 9 especially was like, oh, this is really cool. Because even if a queen can win all these challenges, because that's the first season, but that was also the first time we saw it. And that felt real. It felt so real. It felt like, even though if you wanted to give it to Shay based on her track record, you can't, because Sasha Velour just nailed that. She killed that. Right.
Yeah. That was genuine. Absolutely. Yeah.
That, right. But I think that's the point that you're making, is that the most genuine, the most authentic, the ones that feel real, those are the seasons that I think really resonate. And what the lip sync does, when it feels rigged, it feels real rigged, right?
And I think lip sync itself, though, like, so many people, I don't think anybody watched season 9 and then watched the lip sync for The Crown and thought, oh, good, Sasha was meant to be the winner the entire time. I'm happy that this twist is helpful to her. I think that everybody was happy that she was crowned because she did the damn thing. Like, it was incredible. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the final lip sync of season 9 for the lip sync for your life was Peppermint, who had the worst track record out of the final four. And then Sasha, who had the second worst track record out of everyone in the final four, because Sasha's two wins were shared with Shay. And so it was really interesting. Like, I totally agree. Like, when it's genuine and everything, it works. But I don't think that that is the right format to make people happy. If you're going to build up the edit for somebody or like the competition in itself, I don't know. I genuinely think the lip sync for The Crown has got to be the thing that goes.
I think they caught lightning in a bottle with the rose petals. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. And I think that ever since then, they're just hoping maybe it'll happen again, which is why you see so many reveal after reveal after reveal after reveal after reveal every damn season after season 9. And it's just, it's just not going to happen that way again. It's not going to happen that way again. And so it just makes the lip sync for The Crown, eventually it loses its luster, because it's just not. And then when you have serious, like, you know, incongruities like this, it's like, oh, like everything just seems very pointless. And like, I do think that we had a fantastic time watching this season, notably because of the queens themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything 100%. Else was sort of what it's always been with Drag Race. It's always sort of the same production shenanigans all the time. The only reason that we were able to get behind it was because the queens themselves were great. And throughout the season, not so much now because it's over and maybe them NDAs are expired, I don't know. We're starting to learn once again that it's okay. Well, production wants this to happen, so this is how it's going to go. And come on, like, let's not do that. Let's do something else.
If you have a good cast, then you don't need to write too much. Period. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Big Brother, Survivor, Drag Race, whatever. Have a good cast and follow where the story is developing. I understand that it's reality TV. It's not, and yes, it's a reality competition, but it's reality TV at the end of the day. And there's got to be a portion of it that they're trying to script to get the certain kind of storyline that they want out.
Yeah. But
if you trust in your cast, I guarantee the genuine drama that comes out of things, the genuine achievements and talents that you get to showcase is going to be far more interesting than whatever you were trying to just make happen. And that would make people feel much better. I mean, it's the same thing. It's so funny. We're honestly, at the end of the day, we're all friggin' sadists here. Because we're sitting here and going, okay. Or masochists, not sadists.
Well, speak for yourself.
Sorry about it. Because we expect authenticity in a reality show. Like, that's what we are trying to build this up and say, we want authentic people. We want people to own what they've done on the show. And if they've been in the wrong and take ownership of it, we want these things. And how often does it really, really happen for us? And I think that altogether, this was a really great season. I think the right queen for this season was crowned. It just was really confusing as to why we had to do this exercise in order for her to be crowned that way. if it had just been, hey, y'all, based off of the season, we as the judges have decided that or RuPaul has decided that the winner is Jinx, and we're going to have a final episode where y'all just do lip sync stuff for another cash prize. Mm-hmm. Sign me up. They could have named Jinx the winner last episode or at the beginning of this episode, and then just had the rest of this be like, now for the consolation prize money. Because they've done such a good job of building up. Every single queen has come out looking amazing and better, and are probably going to have sold out gigs like unbelievably far in advance in the future. They have so many more followers on social media. Everybody grew. Everybody learned. Everybody had these genuine moments that were really touching. We loved the sisterhood that we got to see. Why ruin that with a contrived twist at the end of the
day? Yeah, that's what it is. That's all it is. Because like you just said, like, we all love these queens, and a lot of people make so many points whenever people have criticisms for the show that, guys, like, it's just Drag Race. Like, we should be happy for the queens. I'm like, well, can't we have both? Can't we have good queens and a good competition show? Like, I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't think it's too much to not want to know who's going to win the season after episode one. That's all I'm saying.
Look, I'm not going to lie to the two of you. I was convinced Monet was going to win this season. I was convinced.
Really?
Yeah, because of the edgic. I was convinced. And then when she smashed that last challenge, she had the most stars. I was like, ooh, this is like the upset. And then because I idiotically believed that the lip sync should stand on its own, I was like, oh, she slayed it. She's got that.
So
up until Jinx was announced, I'm not going to lie to you, I was convinced that Monet was the winner.
I would have been fine with either one of them being crowned. Oh. And I'm with you. I did think going into this, like, the story is leading up that there's an upset here.
And because Monet is in that, what was that thing we talked about where the three, what was it? The thing with, where they walk out and Monet is one of the three queens that walks out. Why the celebrity is the name escaping me? Yes, the celebrity secret super
celebrity drag race extravaganza for the crown. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was like, it's Monet. It's Monet. It has to be Monet. And and everyone else was like, oh, Jinx is going to win. She's the winner. I was like, no, you guys, it's going to be Monet. This was the, you know, false winner going into Survivor edgic reading of all. Like, I was the Dominic when Wendell was obviously going to take it. You know what I mean? It's just whatever. Anyway. Okay, how do you guys feel? You feel better? Do we feel better?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Congratulations to all the queens. Honestly, yeah. They smashed it. The season was super fun. I can't complain, really, as I just complained a bunch, but it's fine. We're all happy.
I can't complain anymore.
Well, look, let's end on a high note. Let's talk about the looks, okay? Because that's what we had talked about wanting was a final runway. And the runway category is, of course, Grand Finale Extravaganza. And I did pull the pictures mainly because I was inspired by Raja's look. But let's just quickly go through all of them. First, let's talk about Jada, stunning in silver. I think she just looks gorgeous here.
Yeah, at first glance, you're like, oh, really? Maybe we need a little bit more. But then I was like, you know what? No, this is Jada. This is opulent. Diva, old glamour, Jada, simple, giving it to you, beautiful. That's it.
Jada can wear anything and look like a million bucks. And I actually really appreciated how comparatively simple this looks because she can pull it off in a way that makes it look so much more complicated, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, she just has some of the best charisma this season. I have really fallen in love with Jada. I love her. She is one of my favorite personalities, and I can genuinely see how this experience was not only validating for her, and I think she really needed that, but just also allowed her to grow and show just absolutely beautiful side of herself. I love this getup. I love everything about it, from the hair to the makeup, those lashes. I every time I look at any aspect of it, I'm like, oh, that looks like her shoulders look good. Oh my gosh, her ankle looks amazing. Like, there's not a single thing I have an issue with.
Yeah, I think the dripping in jewels aesthetic of it all is really what sends me.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Let's talk about the next queen, Raja. Like I said, this is what inspired it. When she walked out, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, bug queen from the future. Let's do this. It's just such a cool, when you think of Drag Race finale extravaganza, this is not the first thing that pops into my head, but she just makes it work. And I think it's just so incredibly creative.
Yeah, I loved it too. I thought it was Evie for a second, because it seems like something up Evie's alley. But yeah, just weirdly glamorous. What can you say? Mm-hmm. The queen insect.
Just remember when she entered the workroom as like the single eyelid cyclops, like little hat. And I think we like to think of her as like this huge fashion queen, which of course she is, but she's a queerdo as well. And that's what mm-hmm. I love about her. We've seen this in a few different looks here where she really knows how to bring really weird inspiration into high fashion looks. And this is no mm-hmm. exception. This to me was my absolute favorite look that came down the runway. She was just absolutely incredible. And then when they're sitting in Untucked and she's still in like the hair and makeup, and just looking at people, and they're all like completely de-dragged and all this other stuff. And I was just like, I would still wear that too, because I know I look fierce. Yeah. I just, there's so many of these queens that I just like looking at. Like, I just love looking at Raja. I love looking in and out of drag. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful human.
Mm-hmm. Next up is the Viv, who said that she wanted to do the opposite of her other finale gown, which was, I remember it so clearly, this light pink number, because I remember because her boobs were weirdly placed on the dress. That is another reason why I remember it. She looked stunning except for that, and I can't get it out of my head. So I was really happy to see her in this and sort of the opposite color palette.
Yeah, instead of the boobs being in a weird place, it's the waistline seems like it's a little off here. So I'm happy that, you know, we have that. No, I mean, she's another one that I've really grown to absolutely love the Vivian. I love looking at her both in drag, mostly in drag. But I just, what a talented queen. And I love this black ostrich feather, like just really gorgeous look. I will say, I don't know why, but it kind of harkened back to like the, even though it looks really nothing like it, the Trixie look from All Stars 3, that black gown with like the poodle hair and all that kind of stuff. And I instantly thought like, oh, that was better done before. But honestly, when you're looking at the Vivian, this is the opposite of what we normally see from her. And she still looks absolutely gorgeous. And I really, really like it.
All I kept thinking was, I know that these are ostrich feathers, but all I kept thinking, all I could hear was Candy Muse. Chicken feathers. That's all I kept thinking.
It's ingrained in the
lines. Very beautiful.
Okay. Evie comes out looking like a whole snack, nay, a whole cake. This was, you know, obviously a classic Evie look.
Yeah, Evie slayed this season. Just so many of her looks were just so distinct, but also just Evie, but all just like unique and interesting takes. Like, this is just giving me like I don't even know. It's like Beauty and the Beast meets Candyland meets Wonderland, Neverland, all the lands. Like, I just love it all.
This is my second favorite look for the finale because, again, it's so unexpected, but so true to Evie. I love that the hair is like frosting brains. I don't know how else to say it. Like, I just, it's so cool. I do have to say, and this is not her fault at all, because how else would you be able to manage this? The only thing that takes me out of it are like the wheels on the bottom that like are so visible for someone can like skate across and everything. But I only really noticed that at the very end. And of course, now that I noticed it before, I'm zeroing in now. But I mean, what an incredible creation. Like, who else would think about this? This is incredible.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even notice the wheels until you pointed it out. So
see, I'm doing the devil's work. Wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, way to ruin it for me. Just kidding. All right, and Jinx is off to the Renaissance Fair. So she's here to slay with her sword warrior extravaganza.
This looks like
not us both going like
it's like
woo. I feel like she paid on the more expensive scale for a Halloween costume on Amazon with this look. That's what I'm getting here.
It's cool cosplay. Like I would love this for cosplay. I'm not sure I love this for a grand finale extravaganza look.
Yeah. I like the message. I like the idea. But boy, what a disappointing follow to the light-up dress. I'm like, yeah. Oh, no.
I was like, damn, should we have just switched this out? Like, put some Christmas lights on this look and then wear the flaming one for the finale?
You know that the three of us bitches would have sat here and been like, how come she didn't use that for the light-up finale? Like, it was like, can't win with us. I'm sorry. Have.
No.
We definitely would have. But yeah, just even with that in mind, this look is sort of, I don't know. Just not for the finale, no. Maybe for something else, but for the finale, no.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Monet and her neo-African futurism look. This was also part of the reason why I thought Monet was going to win. She walked out in this, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. She was serving it. Like, just gave me all of the Black Panda, or Black Panda, not Panda. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Black Panda.
Black Panther Wakanda realness. Oh, my gosh. Dora Milaje, Afrofuturism. Yeah, just it gave you all of that. I loved it.
Yeah, the bodysuit fit so well.
Yeah.
I think that the bodysuit so easily could have shown more of the corset and such underneath. And it does a really good job hiding it, like when she's on the runway. And when you have a frozen shot that you have a few minutes to just stare at, you can start to see like, oh, the top between the breast and the waist is a little like, meh. But that doesn't come across that way when she's walking in the runway. This was incredible.
Yeah. It's just that she looks so good.
So good.
Shay also, though, but when does Shay not look stunning? You know, maybe we've had a few examples, but I love the sort of upside down hat dress thing. Like, this is cute. I like this.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's every time I feel like I don't like something that Shay's wearing, I'm like, it's me.
It must be me.
It's me. It is very stunning. The more and more that I look at it, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. And I think Austin didn't help me over the weekend. Was there a lot of fan art that came out of Shay in this dress? And the fan art made me appreciate it a bit more. But I won't lie, when she came down the line, I was like, I don't know about this one, Shay. But I can definitely, I can see where she's going, and I can sort of see a bit of the vision a bit more. Maybe I don't like necessarily the hair too much. I don't know if something else would have worked. I don't know. I think it's just me. It's me.
I tend to agree with you. I feel like this is the beginning of a concept that Shay would work on, but like we're seeing like iteration 3 when we need to get to 5 or something like that. Unfortunately, it set the bar so high for herself that something that would be like absolutely amazing for other people when she puts it on, we're like, it's not quite there. And I think that's what we're falling victim because she looks amazing. I love the wig. I love the short hair. I love all the elements. But for whatever reason, I'm underwhelmed to a certain extent. And I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. And I truly think it's just because we expect every time she comes down that runway, it's going to be absolutely impeccable. There's nothing inherently wrong with this. I don't like it as much as some of the other concepts that we've seen from other some of the other queens.
All right, and our final look is Trinity, who, as we learned, made this look during the season, which is wild. What a seamstress. And I mean she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I did feel like it was a bit like not as extravagant and ostentatious as Trinity usually goes for. But hearing that this was something that she made during the time there, I feel like that's just so special. It's like, you know, she spent the entire season making this look. You know, it just feels like this is very much of All-Star 7. It is a labor of love from her. So I really appreciate that. And she just looks so Barbie, which is like not... which is not Trinity at all. Trinity is so much like, she's just like a Southern belle. Like she's like a, she's just like the extravagant, rich white woman like, that just gets all of like the most expensive things possible. And this is something new. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. She's giving Real Housewife of Birmingham, you know, I really appreciate that she made this. I love that. The queens that are putting their own talents to not just the conceptualize an idea for an outfit, but actually put in the work for it. And I do give her a lot of extra points for it. My struggle is because she's had so many over the top, like huge trains and such this season. This just doesn't look as extravagant as what we would normally see. But again, it's because she made it herself throughout the season with all the other stressors going on. She does look gorgeous. I also don't know. I like the hair, but I feel like she could have gone with something different. It kind of seems like here's a wig you haven't seen yet this season. Let me pop it on. And I kind of wish that it was a, I understand that I like that it's two things. I like that it's a red hair with a pink gown, because I think a lot of times we don't see representation of like redheads being quote unquote allowed to wear certain colors. And this baby pink is kind of one of them that I've heard from my redheaded friends. Oh, I can't wear that because I don't look good at it. Like, we'll take a look here because it looks gorgeous and you absolutely can. But two, what I love about, and I wish that she would have just done a little bit more with, is I feel like the hair is a letdown. Literally, I think that she could have done an updo. She could have done something, a half up combination there, but it just kind of seems like it was an afterthought. But other than that, I mean, this is all the brownie points in the world. Look at how many stones are on that.
The craftsmanship incredible. Is crazy.
I think it's because she looks like Barbie. I think the hair fits the Barbie look of it all. Like, that's the hair my Barbies had before I chopped it all off. Trying to do hairstyles.
Before I shampooed Barbie. It in the bathtub. Yeah. And I'm like, here you go.
Turned her into Cynthia.
Yeah, exactly. Whew. Okay. So we've talked about the lip syncs. We've talked about the looks. We talked about the weird clown dream thing that we endured. What else? We actually did have a listener. I don't know if any of you caught this. One of our listeners reached out and said that Jinx spoiled her own win during the episode. I didn't catch this, but apparently during a confessional, she mentioned my first win earlier in the episode when referring to her season 5 win. So my first win versus. So I don't know. I didn't catch that. So sleuths out
there. I thought she was talking about the challenges.
Oh, maybe. Okay, I don't know.
I thought she said my first win in context of like when she won a challenge, because I thought that maybe I have this completely wrong, but I thought she was talking about how it set her up to have a good momentum in the competition. But I could be very wrong. Our listeners like tend to be more on it than me. So
I know. Too busy complaining. We had the Untucked. I know, Beth, you talked about that was one of your favorite Untucks of the season.
What I like the most about it, it comes back down to the queens. You can see the genuine disappointment in all of them when they lose and they come back, and or they're like confused as to how some people win, and they're being supportive regardless. And I think that I really, the reason why I didn't go, I know it's hard to believe given all the complaining that I've done tonight as well, but like, that I just didn't go off the deep end with all of this, was because at the end of the day, I love that they remembered it's about a sisterhood and it's about supporting each other, and that this competition actually doesn't really define you in any shape or form, but it does develop you. And I really just enjoyed those small moments, like whether it's Jada joking about, oh, Raja, you said that you would split it 50-50 with me, so I look forward to my 25,000. So you go out there and do the damn thing. And oh, Monet, you promised to split the 200,000. Like, those little things that are a little bit of levity are great. I'm commenting on how the lip syncs are going, have gone when the queens come back. Mm-hmm. The their genuine excitement over the scepters, and which easily could have come across as, oh, we have a consolation prize. And maybe that's how they thought, but it genuinely came across as like, oh, this is cute. Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
That just made me fall in love with every single one of them all over again. I just really, really enjoyed this Untucked episode.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, this season was a showcase of the queens. I had a really good time overall. I think we really enjoyed covering the season. I think it was the exact correct length, because I think if it hadn't gone any longer, I think things would have been a little bit more frustrating. I think the last two episodes maybe were a little bit tough compared to the rest of the season. But overall, I still think that the queens that were on the season were absolutely bangers. And we got such fabulous entertainment from them. And I couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah. I agree. I don't want, like, look, guys, I don't want anybody to think that, like, you know, we don't enjoy the show, or that specifically I don't enjoy the show. I love Drag Race. I have come to enjoy this show and its fans, well, some of the fans, the queens, so much. I just think it's so important to have queer folks on TV, and a diverse array of queer folks on TV. It's just been such a fantastic sort of thing to see, especially when it has sort of gone a little bit mainstream. I know that it going mainstream can be a little frustrating for some, you know, pioneers of this art form. But I do think that just having it be a little bit more accessible does sort of turn the temperature down on just how much ostracization happens with people in this community. There's so much, like, bull crap that's going on right now in this country, that having this show is such a beacon of just like, oh, we're, like, I'm good. I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Like, there is still this thing here that pervades, and it just, I love the show. That being said, because I love the show, I think that it can just do so much better in terms of, like, the quality that we get. And I don't think that criticizing the show is bad. I don't think that. And I'm not going to come onto this podcast and just sit up here and be like, as lovey-dovey as the producers would like us to be, because it's not always like that. It ain't like that, honey. And that's okay, you know? I just think, you know, as the seasons progress, hopefully it just gets a little bit better in terms of, like, some of the decisions that they make. Well, we still going to be here regardless, because, you know, I'm going to go up for the show at the end of the day. So, yeah, I had a great time as well. I'm glad that the queens got to showcase themselves. I would have rather it be a showcase and a showdown. But if, you know what, if we have a showcase, so be it.
Well said, Iman. I co-sign everything you said.
Yeah. I look, the straights at work still don't know, or at least the straight boys don't know when I talk about, yeah, I'm doing Drag Race finale. And they're like, what? I'm like, okay, so not that
like
mainstream.
Drag racing? Hey. So cool, bro.
Exactly. So, you know, we haven't reached that level yet. And I also think you can do both. You can love something, and also then, you know, when you have criticize. It's not a but. It's a, I love it and this. You know, it's always an and, never a but. Although Trinity's butt, you know, got to see a lot of action that I still want to see footage of production. I know you
release
it.
Release the footage. Trinity cut.
Yes.
Release the cut.
Again, I want to see the topping. All right.
In the same realm, oftentimes the most patriotic thing you can do for your country is criticize it. And I think the most patriotic thing you can do for Drag Race is criticize it. I think that we wouldn't be doing this podcast if we found it so incredibly frustrating that we couldn't even talk about it. I think what I love the most about this podcast is that we get to kind of work through our issues with it while also celebrating just a really great art form that has made a huge difference in so many people's lives. I know it made a huge difference in my life. And so to have the opportunity to come on here, celebrate these winners who just did incredible work this entire season, maybe complain every once in a while, because it would also be boring if we just came in and said everything was perfect. Y'all would hate that too, so don't even play. But we so appreciate everybody who's listened, who's provided those reviews and likes and comments on videos and such. And just thank you all for the enjoying this ride with us.
And that does it. We're done. We did we did the damn thing. All right. The season is over. We are going to close things out. And for the time being, We are going to be out of your feeds. But don't worry, we will be back. God knows there's more Drag Race coming down the pipeline. So don't worry, we'll be back at some date in the future. And if you're missing Drag Race, there is Drag Race France, Drag Race Canada, and Down Under, all for you to watch if you're interested. Mm-hmm. So don't worry, you are never in a drought when it comes to Drag Race. All right, Beth, where can people find you on social media? What else do you want to plug?
Sure. You can find me at AugustaWind11 and on all social media sites. If you care to know my random thoughts, you can follow me on Twitter there. If you care to see random photos, go to Instagram. And if you want to see me play with stupid filters on TikTok, see you there. I'm also on My Weekly Meltdown, where I'm not covering Big Brother, but I am kind of just doing our little BS breakdowns every once in a while and hanging out with our patrons. You can also catch me over and our patrons in the RHAP community. Sorry, I meant to say that. You can also catch me on Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zainer, where I'm just having a gay old time over there talking about queer shit.
And Aman, what about you?
You can find me everywhere at Aman Adwin. And I will be over at RHAP, as per usual, covering Big Brother 24. And that's it for now.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, same as Amon, covering Big Brother for RHAP. And oh my God, yeah, that's it. Okay, so if you want to give us a post-season rating for funsies, you can do that. Star ratings and reviews on iTunes, robswebsite.com/Drag Race. And if you are missing some extra reality TV, if you're a Big Brother fan, Big Brother's not enough, or you're like, nah, I'm not doing Big Brother this season, you should check out A Love Island. Scally and Kirsten are going to be covering Love Island all season long, so you will have both a show and a podcast to listen to. Love Island USA, by the way, to clarify, USA, I did just watch the finale of UK. Buzzin'. But the US season is now continuing on, so it has moved to Peacock and is totally uncensored, and so is the podcast. Scally and Kirsten are breaking down all the drama, the twists, the relationships, the breakups every Tuesday and Friday. So recapping the week on Tuesdays and Fridays. And you can subscribe at robswebsite.com/hotdummies. Okay, that's it. We're done. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes. And we'll talk to y'all at some point. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.